Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is February the 24th, 2020, Monday, and we're going to do something different today, because it seems that maybe I got a little bit of knowledge that people need to hear. So I've got two professors on here with me, both in the education area, and I call them Professor Paul and Professor Joel, and they want to interview me. So with that said, I'm going to hand it over to you, Paul.
Thank you, Stu. I know you personally, and I know that Joel knows you personally, and we benefit greatly from having a personal relationship. And we get to have private conversations, and sometimes what we share in private, we don't talk about in public. And it's not that we're trying to hide things, it's just... a lot of the information we have is difficult for some people to grasp or some people to believe. And I suggested that Joel and I, and you have a little bit of a round table, but to really focus on your knowledge. And what I'd like to do is pick up from the 100-minute interview you did on the 7th of February. I think most listeners... probably were left a little bit flat-footed, although I think you and Joel ended on a really affirming and positive note, and we can talk about that at the end of this program. But I'd like to start with a fairly broad topic, and I call it the alien agenda. And I attended a conference in Branson, Missouri, and 3 days, and I thought the material was really good. But I also knew that I was well prepared for the conference because you had talked about so much of it, and grateful for that. Stu, what can you tell me about what happened in 1952? Dwight Eisenhower is president. He's at a military base. What sort of treaty, what sort of meeting, and how do we know about this meeting and this treaty?
Well, there was what was called the Alien Agreement. And it was a U.S. government agreement with the aliens, which are the fallen angels. And the deal was Eisenhower was forced into it. Apparently, one of his aides got eaten by a fallen angel. It attacked him, ate him, showed him that this is what's going to happen to you if you don't do what we want. We want 1 million bodies per year. 1 million people we're going to snatch because we need the blood. No, you're not going to do that. Well, he got eaten. He was forced into it. In exchange, we got invisibility, and we got the flying saucers, which John Lear, my friend, the test pilot, his dad was the one that owned Lear Jets, sold it in 52, and he became the one that did the flying saucers. They built 150 of them. That was our flying saucer space command that we have parked out in Las Vegas, north of Las Vegas, about 90 miles.
Amazing.
And there was other things. They gave us invisibility. And the invisibility, as an example, today is the cloak and dagger game. It's like a Brillo pad that they put on, a big cloaked coat, like a big Brillo pad coat that goes almost to their feet. They can walk through walls with it. Okay? And they gave us space-time, eventually. And that was, I think, the Montauk series of projects of books has been written about it. If a person wants to get into all that sort of thing, that was real in Montauk, New York. It did happen. They sent kids into space, and some never came back, space-time. And that was what all this tied to what J.P. Morgan had brought forth to our government involving that, as well as, you know, free energy. This was through Nikola Tesla, the scientist. Free energy, space-time, and... anti-gravity. And when they couldn't, and HARP, which they did in Colorado Springs, it blew out and killed one of the officers with lightning bolts. And so the government said, this is of the devil, back in the 40s, and they closed it down. Well, J.P. Morgan took it, who was one of the Illuminati 12, took it to Adolf Hitler, and that's where we first got the saucers, and we got the cloning and all kinds of other stuff went on before the 1952 Alien Agreement. And we had Roswell, which was the incident where they came forth the aliens, which are the fallen angels, to be visible to the human beings. And what they had on, they're invisible, and what they had on was a suit that I could explain that Harry Ruck used to be Daddy Bush's pilot, landed him at the alien base at Papoose Lake, Nevada, said he saw 24 of these suits hanging up there that looked like little graves. Explain that one.
When we were asked for a million bodies per year, would these be humans that were given to the aliens to do whatever they wanted with? And and you're saying it was really for the blood. And was there supposed to be some sort of record keeping as part of, we give you the humans and then you give us the technology?
That's basically what they did, and they did, and they are registered. Now, these aliens, there's supposedly 200,000 of them registered with the National Security Agency, the government, U.S. government. And there's apparently 10 million of them that they've cloned in Hope, Arkansas, since the late 1940s when they moved the Nazi scientists over here that was doing that thing at the time. They brought 10 million humans that have no conscience and no soul. But friends of mine in the NSA, super spooks, these are 007 Sean Connery types, okay, told me that they believed that it was closer to 20 to 30 million that are not registered that they have cloned in Hope, Arkansas. Now, that was as of about 2.5-3 years ago.
In your previous interview, you and Joel talked about
200,000. I want to explain something too. These 200,000 that they have registered aliens possess human beings, folks. They got to have a host body, a person evil enough and willing enough to let this thing come in and occupy their body. As it was said to me, whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law, Stu, lived for thousands of years before it now has jumped into Larry Mizell. Went from Leonard Millman to Larry Mizell. Okay? So they use host bodies. And they do this devil worshiping, and they're doing human sacrifice, and they're doing all this crap. The humans that are possessed by these animals. The government calls them aliens. I know them to be fallen angels.
When you describe them as aliens or fallen angels, are they entities that we can see, touch, observe, or are some of these entities unseen to us?
Some of many unseen to us. I was standing on a mountaintop out in Colorado once, and I made a comment to a super spook, and I said, well, I want to know more about this human sacrifice crap going on down here in downtown Denver. He says, I can't talk about it. I said, why? He says, because I can't. I said, well, why not? We're out here. Nobody's around. I said, we don't have any phones out here. They can't hear us. He says, yeah, they can. I said, what do you mean? He said, they run back at tattletale. I said, they? Is he talking about demons? He just nodded. Yes. They run back at tattletale.
Is disconnected, in your estimation, to the hollow earth? Is this also connected to our solar system? What connections do you know about between the fallen ones and our government?
Well, our government found out in 1952 that, of course, there was a big hole at the North Pole, folks. The ocean flows into the earth, and it flows out the other end, okay? Now, Admiral Byrd encountered this in World War II when he was chasing the Nazis. And they had flying saucers, gunship, 50 calibers, and they weren't too accurate, but he lost 2,000 men. And he had to testify before Congress what happened in closed-door secret. He went to the South Pole, and he discovered there was a sun inside the Earth. He took battleships in there, chasing Nazis, escaped with two ships, retreated and got the hell out of there. But that's what happened. He reported and later wrote the book, All Earth. Folks, the whole earth reports on all this. Now, that's through World War II, right after the ending of it, when we're chasing the Nazis down. Now, in 1952, document Super Spook, Otis Johnson had, showed the two U.S. Air Force jets under Operation Blue Book, or whatever it was called. I think it was a Blue Book at the time, chasing saucers around. They chased two of them in the North Pole. Now, there used to be up on YouTube a KGB video of the North Pole where they flew over it, and it shows the hole, and it shows its hollow down its side. Two of the Air Force jets were forced to follow saucers. They did. They got inside in a short period of time. They said it was like a, Garden of Eden. Describe it. Huge river inside of it. There was a sun in there. They said they decided to turn around, come back up, because they didn't know what their gauges were reading. They just went nuts on them. They came back out and made their report. Now, it shows that we have the hollow earth. I've seen the diagram in person of the hollow earth entry in Denver, Colorado. I've seen the underground Western White House and Western Capitol built inside a huge cap called the Argo, A-R-G-O tunnel. It goes to the center of the earth. And our government, that's how it's tied to our government. Now, the keeper of the keys to that land was a CIA corporation, government corporation set up years ago when they discovered it. And it was passed on. The person at the time, back in the 1990s, happened to be brought to me by a county sheriff in Colorado who was a patriot. And he told me, hey, Stu, you got to listen to this guy. We had lunch. I talked to him. I saw the drawings of the entire place. George Bush was trying to steal the corporation and put in his control instead of the CIA's control, where he had total control of the thing. Now, it's a very interesting place. It's got tunnels going from there to the Denver airport, from the Denver airport over to our air base, U.S. Air Base, Air Force Base in Aurora. And there's a lot of interesting things about Denver, Colorado, besides all this tunnel stuff. Those tunnels that run through the Argo also run, as an example, to Adams Mark Hotel at the Denver Tech Center. That's where Dick Cheney, as vice president under George W. Bush fraud, was hanging out all the time. He was missing in action because he was up there in the presidential suite. All he did was go to the elevator. As soon as the door closed, he opened up the little deal for emergency phone, and he pressed the code in the elevator. And the code took him to the subfloor, which took him to a place that he had to put his fingerprints down, eye identification, all the bullshit, and he was in the Argo Tunnel. He was in his office in the Western White House, they call it, Western Vice Presidential House and Western Capitol. True sizes are built down in this tunnel. Now, if anybody lives in Denver, Colorado, if they go out on Kipling Boulevard, where the entrance into a huge underground that was built back in the 1960s, late 60s, that connects into this, I mean, they'll see traffic coming out at 3 to 4 o'clock when the shift changes. They'll see traffic jams up the ass, and they'll see the police out there and guards holding traffic up to allow the traffic to come out of the hole. Right on 6th Avenue and Kipling out there, folks, 6th Avenue goes east and west, and Kipling goes north and south. The traffic jam. It's because of the holes out there. Now, there's another entrance to the hole behind Pikes Peak in an area called Center Colorado. It's the upper desert where they grow most of the food in Colorado. It's up in there. It's a huge area. It's just south of, or in behind Pueblo, to the west of Pueblo, and to the west of Colorado Springs. And it's a flat area down there. And on the north side, if you stand down there on the north end, it's the most beautiful view, in my opinion, Colorado. See all the mountains from one angle. It's unbelievable. The south side. But the Argo Tunnel, into the Argo Tunnel, where they do the human sacrifice in Denver at the Old Navarre across from the Brown Palace Hotel, ties to this because the guy, Ann Schultz, who runs a loan business and now shows up as the front for the museum, supposedly, an old whorehouse / gaming hall, show has a pyramid down there in the sand dunes right in behind Pike's Peak in that desert area. I sat down doing a speech in Central Colorado to a bunch of patriots down there one time back in the 90s. And I'm sitting down there with this sheriff who was aware of this, who introduced me to the guy that was in charge for the CIA of the tunnel, or the Argo Tunnel. And I did a speech, and we stayed the night down there at these people's home. But there were about 15 people, small town. They showed up, and we had a good time in a barbecue. But I sat out there and saw what's called the Blue Light Special. This is blue light, and another blue light, another blue light, another blue light, a whole bunch of them coming in. These blue light specials are called the Aurora Project, the Aurora airplane I've discovered. And until recently, this year, I didn't know the speed of this damn thing. But Jim Rothstein spilled it out. And Joe was on there with us, I believe. Who's on now with us. They spelled it out. They fly 36,000 miles an hour. That's alien technology. It goes into the hole down there. Now, people can drive up I-70 west of Denver, Evergreen, and up the hill, Idaho Springs, Colorado. It's called Idaho Springs, Colorado. The first highway takes you south. Tulane, go out about 5 miles, you see a gravel road dropping down in there. It's where trucks come into the place. I identified that. That's three holes on the face of the earth. There's a fourth one, Pine Gap, Australia. It's a pretty good size. And there's small ones here and there that are on the planet. We're dealing with people, not people, but entities. I had a battle in heaven, in my opinion. It says in Genesis, had a battle and a third of them were kicked down here. Now, they've identified 200,000 of them. And I asked that, I said, well, that means all the leaders of the world, or they have super spooks, like Otis Johnson's dad, knew this stuff, NSA, think tank. I mean, and Z did. Excuse me. We're off the charts. He said, I did it for my government and for the people. I didn't know I was doing it for a crime syndicate that last 10 years. He was mad about it. And he tried to bust him with William Casey, and it didn't happen. Casey got murdered. He got neutralized. Here's the point. There's 13 above the president. There's 200,000 of them that are occupying humans. That means they're controlling governments of the world, yes, but not the presidencies. It doesn't mean they're the king or the queen or the whichever. It doesn't mean they're occupied because they're not evil enough. They aren't part of it to be occupied by one of these aliens, fallen angels. But their aide next to them, as an example, could be occupied. That way they have control of that leader of that country. I said, then they got control of all the governments. He said, yes, they do. Martin used to tell me, Iran Contra whistleblower, and I helped his book publish, The Conspirators. Great read. A lot of great connections. Clintons, Bushes, all of them. Goldman, Max Enwalls mentioned in there. With Neil Bush and all that crowd, it was he owned the place, Silverado. But as Al used to tell me, there's 13 above the president. I said, well, who are these? He said, Stu, I'll never tell you that. I said, why? He said, do you get killed? Because he knew that if I started saying that Leonard Millman was possessed by one of these, he figured that they would have whacked me. And in mine have. Mine have. As Otis said, why do you think I don't give you information all the time? He said, you find it. I said, yeah, I do. I said, I come back to you and ask, and I finally get a straight answer off something. As he said, Stu, you have a PhD from the Bush, Millman, Clinton Crime Syndicate University. And he says, your library card expired. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, you came to know too much, and now it's time for you to die. Believe me, they don't like you. But before his death, he said, you're missing one thing. He found out all the stuff about the mortgages and stealing back the houses and doing all the stuff. And he says, all the stuff you've done with the other four congressional investigations way back in the 90s, he says, you put the hurt on them. But he said, there's one thing he said, and you figured out the whole bigger picture, except for one thing. I said, what's that? He says, Milman owned the third largest shipping company in the world. He says, you're missing that. I said, well, then that means that's where the oil was being stolen from you guys up there for years, shipped to Israel, 50 cents on the dollar. Oh, yeah. And Joe discovered, he discovered where the oil was going out of northern Iraq or Syria, going to Israel. Well, who's shipping that ship now? I guarantee it's Larry Mizell. Anyway, what else have we got?
Well, the criminality and corruption is nothing new, and in the February 7th interview, and I would encourage anyone to go back and listen to that because there is so much information. But sticking with the alien agenda, Wernher von Braun, way back in 1979.
Hold on a second, Paul. Yep. Joe, do you want to add anything to what I've said? Or
no, you got it. You got it right on.
Okay,
there's a whole lot there, and the idea was, who are these individuals, and you covered that, and that's good enough.
Okay. Now, one more thing I might add to this Gray Men's Empire, this alien stuff, before you go to your next question, Paul, is that in the structure of these 200,000, they have their top dogs. They're called the Council of 13. They call them the 12 disciples of Satan. And the 13th one, of course, is Satan. And they're called Tiffany Lamp Meetings in Denver, Colorado, where they do the human sacrifices, and they come together on June 21st of every year. And then the winter solstice varies between the 19th and the 22nd of each year, the shortest day. And that's where they do it, because it's to deal with the ley lines, folks. It's the power grids around the planet. These it's almost like electrical grids around the planet, and they seem to gain power or push their agenda through this, as Satanists have said in the past that I've had on interviewed, that will raise the satanic families have said this. And Joe even has brought this to my attention a few times about the ley lines and the grids, et cetera, I believe. So there's more to it than the power grids. Of where certain events take place, of where they do these things. And they do it all over the world, folks. These satanic sacrifices happen every place. But what's known as the 12 disciples of Satan are the ones that are called the Gray Men's Empire Comptroller of Currency. They're the comptrollers. It's like the U.S. government has a comptroller of currency, okay? We've got the IRS Commission, we've got the Comptroller of Currency. The Comptroller of Currency, the General Accounting Office itself, each year pulls all information from IRS, Comptroller of Currency, all the various financial agencies that they've divided it into now. And they write a report for the Congress and Senate, as an example. These 12 individuals that are called the Gray Men's Empire, they're called the Comptrollers of Currency, the 12 Disciples of Satan. You got Satan and his 12 immediate disciples. He's fallen angel possessed, alien possessed, whatever you want to call them, alien, fallen angel possessed human beings. They've agreed to be possessed. Now, they're in control of the money. And these other entities underneath them that are possessed as well, goes down the chain, are fallen angels in the alien structure, or the fallen angel structure, their army. Now, 12 Disciples of Satan, the General Accounting Office said in 1981 that 1% of the population controlled 20% of the U.S. economy. In June of 2012, the General Accounting Office reported that 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy, and that two pension funds controlled 88% of all the pension funds. It happens to be that one of the disciples of Satan, Larry Mizell in Denver, Colorado, that had Silverado savings, Iran-Contra money laundering with Neil Bush and the Clintons and everybody. Larry Mizell, one of the 12 disciples, is in control of about $150 trillion. Now he's got structure underneath him. He's also got a partner named Brownstein, law partner from law school that Leonard Millman hired, who was my ex-witch doctor's father, that this entity that left him jumped into my Zelle. Now, these 12 disciples control the money at the very top, period. Now, my Zelle's in control of about $150 trillion. Daddy Bush is in control of $150 trillion. Each one of them are in that range worldwide. I'm going to name them off. Larry Mizell, Denver, Colorado. Daddy Bush. Anwar Ben Shiri, the head rabbi in Israel. Paul Warburg. Patrick Wu of China, likes to live in Dallas. Meyer Rothschild. David Rockefeller. Bill Grace Jr. now, is what I heard. I heard that it jumped in junior voice. Who am I missing? Pope Benedict that resigned over his pedophilia crap in Germany. Those are the ones I know to be part of the 12 disciples of Satan that appear in Denver each year. They have to. They have to be there. It's part of the Tiffany lamp. Now, they do this stuff all over. If you remember Dick Cheney, I've reported before that him and Daddy Bush and Henry Kissinger were all chasing kids with guns at the Isley Brokerage Ranch up in Gresham, Oregon. They still do out on the farm. They sold the nursery, but it buys its trees from the farm. They still have a farm where they go out and hunt kids. These are possessed by fallen angels out hunting and raping and killing children. Kidnapped children, folks. These are the animals that roam among us. Now, these 12 disciples of Satan control the 400 that control the economy of the United States and the economies of the world. If you look at the ownership of our money supply called the Federal Reserve, it is controlled by Larry Mizell in Denver and his partner, Norman Brownstein, who was laundering the money into BlackRock and Blackstone Corp. And if you punch into Google, who owns the Federal Reserve, you'll see Blackstone, BlackRock, whichever one it is, involved. And that's part of this drug money that they took over the economy with, which is all part of Iran-Contra, with the drugs still coming to America. They're still being brought in by E-Systems in Dallas, which ties Jeb Bush, Neil Bush, and the whole Bush family, and the Clintons and everybody else, still with drug trafficking and drug in America. Anyway, what's their agenda? They want us all dead. They want to fry people. We're at a very close point of some really serious crap happening. Now, with that said, I think I covered the bases, haven't I, on that angle of it, Paul?